You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. I'm joined, as always, by Rhett Bollinger. And the Twins lost five of their last six going into the second-to-last week of the regular season. Their wild card position slipped from one game back to 2.5 games back. Rhett, what do you think, man? Can they pull this off? Will they pull this off? What's going to happen there in the Twin Cities?
Well, it's going to be tough. I mean, their postseason odds right now, I think I was looking at it on MLB.com, the baseball perspective, postseason odds, and I think right now they're right around 5%.
Yeah.
They're even behind the Indians right now.
They
play the Indians now, I think, 7 of the next 10 games. So that's going to be a, you know, kind of a big indicator there. They certainly have a chance. You know, the Astros are starting to play a little bit better recently after their slide, after their four-game sweep against the Rangers. Certainly, it's within the realm of possibility. 2.5 games isn't that far back, and tied with the Angels, no one else is ready to jump right now. So it could happen. I think, like you said, with the odds, you know, I'm a math guy, so if the odds say 5%, I'm not going to go out on the line and say they're going to make it. But I do think they're going to be in it toward the end there. I think that last series at home against the Royals count. But a lot of it really is going to have to do with how they play against the Indians in those seven games, because the Indians have some tough starting pitching, especially in that series coming up, having to face, you know, Carrasco and Kluber and guys like that.
You got to live dangerously, right? When the odds say 5%, you got to bet your house and your wife and your kid. You got to throw it all on the line. You can score big. That's how you end up bankrupt, pretty much. How tough is the Tyler Duffy decision? Maybe it's not tough at all. He's basically their best starter right now. Really good against Sunday, 2.06 ERA and 4-0 record in his last seven starts. But obviously, he's in new territory with the innings, so they, you know, don't want to ruin the kid going forward. But it's impossible to take him out of the rotation right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, like you talked about, this guy has been their best starter pretty much ever since he's kind of come back up that second time. That first start there against the Blue Jays was very forgettable. Then went back down to the minors for a start, and then came back up, and ever since then, he's been lights out, a totally different pitcher. And he's been absolutely legit in terms of the strikeout rates, way up. He's a guy that gets a lot of swings and misses with that curveball, initiates a lot of weak contact. He's done a pretty good job of keeping the ball in the park outside of that game against the Blue Jays. So really, you look at the peripheral stats, too. I mean, it's legit. So it's kind of impressive in a sense that this is a guy who started at Double-A Chattanooga, wasn't really on too many, you know, top prospect radars or anything. And he's developed into a guy that can be a starting pitcher for them going forward. But that's the big thing is, you know, it's his first year in the majors. They want him to be part of that rotation going forward. And, you know, you kind of got to watch those innings. The good thing is obviously he's a big guy, kind of a big frame, can handle that. I think that was maybe a reason why Jose Berrios, another pitching prospect they did shut down, was shut down, is that Berrios is probably around 5'11", smaller frame guy. You worry about maybe his durability a little bit more going forward than a guy who's bigger like Duffy. But, yeah, it's kind of one of those tough things where they want to keep throwing him out there because he gives them a good chance to win, but at the same time, you also don't want too many innings on that arm. After, you know, I think last year, I think he's already up close to almost 25 to 30 innings more than he did last year. And you don't want to go too much higher than that. And then all of a sudden have him come in the next season and deal with some sort of arm injury and set him back, you know, kind of going forward in the future. Because I think next year they want him to be a big part of that. So, yeah, they're kind of in a tough bind and trying to find ways to back him off a little bit and use off days to their advantage. But with the way that Tommy Malone has struggled recently, the way that Phil Hughes didn't do too well in his first start back from the DL, they're definitely trying to lean on him as much as they can, but also within reason, trying to make sure that they don't overextend him or overuse him too much this season.
Well, one thing that's fascinating about this season and the fact that the Twins are still mathematically in this mix is just from this podcast perspective, Rhett, it seems like, and we do these every week, and it seems like 60 or 70% of them, we've had some kind of rotation discussion, a guy going in, a guy coming out. There's been a lot of movement within that rotation all year, and that continues now. With Tommy Malone nursing a tired shoulder, and Phil Hughes, who you mentioned, you know, missed a few weeks with a herniated disc, and he comes back, has a rough go of it, and he's in the bullpen. Now he's back in the rotation in an important series against the Indians. He'll be in there on Wednesday. Just sticking with Hughes' situation, you know, he's pitching in this, you know, like I said, what is a big series. What are your expectations for him after what we saw last week?
Yeah, I mean, with Hughes, he wasn't even supposed to be a part of this rotation. I mean, Mulder told us a few days ago that he wasn't going to start again this whole homestand and potentially maybe not again this season. But then when Tommy Malone lasted you know, just over an inning there. I think what, an inning and a third is last time out.
Yeah.
He decided to take him out of the rotation and put Hughes back in there. And Pelfrey at least turned in a decent outing, which was much needed. So it's, like I said, the rotation, we talked about it all year. And right, it's been one of those things where it's kind of been just good enough to keep him in the games, but a little bit inconsistent. All of a sudden, sometimes, you know, Pelfrey goes on a streak where he actually does pretty well, and then all of a sudden goes in a streak where he can't get anybody out. And even Kyle Gibson has probably been their, you know, best overall starter in terms of consistency. He's even kind of had some of those spells where, you know, his August was, you know, really struggled. So it just seems like there's always somebody in there struggling. They got to, you know, move out, or someone's hurt, whether it's Hughes or in Alaska. You know, Malone had a nice hot streak, and all of a sudden now his last two starts, he's kind of fallen off. So maybe that's what happens with rotations. They don't really strike many guys out. You can kind of just, you know, bad luck, that kind of stuff, and play into it. You're, a lot of balls are hitting the play, that kind of thing. But, yeah, the rotation, to its credit, though, has at least kept them in these games. I mean, last year, about 2 years, you know, really, like, they finished in the last in the majors in ERA from the starters. So at least they're starting to get some of that, you know, better ERA and better pitching. But like you said, it definitely is just kind of a shuffling kind of the deck throughout the season. And I'm curious to see kind of how that goes next year, if they can get a little more stability. And obviously a full season of Ervin Santana next year could help as well.
Seeing Hughes back in the rotation just a few days after Molitor's comments is a surprise, and it's a surprise we might actually see Ricky Nolasco before the end of the year. We kind of chalked him up as done for the year, but it sounds like he could pitch on the next road trip. Is that a possibility still, Rhett?
Yeah, it is a possibility. I mean, right now I think he just flew down to Fort Myers. He's going to pitch in a simulated game with some hitters in Fort Myers at the club spring training complex, I believe today on Monday. He's already thrown a couple, but I think he's thrown like seven times off a mound already. So, I mean, he's starting to kind of build up his pitch count a little bit too. So, yeah, I think that it's potentially in relief, especially when he comes back, he definitely would be ready for that. I don't know if he'll get stretched out enough to start. Yeah, just getting him back could be a big thing for them in terms of just, A, allowing him to finish the season healthy, and the fact that he worked so hard to get back that it wasn't for nothing, and maybe just even help him late in the year. You never really know, but it could be, you know, too little too late. But at least they know that he's healthy, which is a big thing. Because I mean, he's been dealing with this for, you know, since I think June 1st, he's been out. So at least to his credit, I know he's not a huge fan favorite, but to his credit, he really has worked really hard throughout this entire time and has really tried whatever he can possibly do to come back and pitch, because other guys might have been, okay, well, you know, do the rehab and, you know, no chance he's going to pitch this year anyway. But he really has tried as hard as he can to try to get back. If they didn't get out of him, it's definitely a positive. Like I said, you know, worst case, at least he's showing that he's healthy, even if he doesn't get into a game. At least he's working toward being healthy and finishes year healthy. So next year, he goes into spring training and everything else fully healthy.
One guy the fans do tend to like quite a bit is Brian Dozier. He's had a rough go of it September, batting 176, 13 for 74. Seeing lots of sliders, he's been susceptible to those. What do you make of the way he's finishing? How important is it to get him going here in the home stretch?
Yeah, it's been interesting the last couple of years. I mean, really, it's been really a new phenomenon with Dozier. Last year, same kind of thing, had a really great, you know, hot start there. Participated in the home run derby, was a potential all-star last year. Even had a great first half, and then kind of fell off in the second half. Last year, he was dealing more with, I think it was like a thumb injury. And 2 years before that, he was dealing with a knee injury late in the year. He's dealt with some injuries late in the year that kind of hurt his production. But this year, to my knowledge, you know, unless he's hiding something, I don't know if any injury that we could blame it on. So it is kind of tough to see just because he wasn't a big part of this team in the first half. And so far, second half really hasn't been able to replicate that, especially recently. We ran a lot more sliders because the one thing he's feasted on throughout the, you know, throughout his career is, you know, high fastballs. He loves to turn on those high fastballs. Hit home runs to left. I mean, pretty much almost all of his home runs go to left field. I think that just seeing a lot more sliders and pitches away, they're not really elevating that fastball just a bit more. I think maybe pitchers are adjusting a little bit, but he's been in the league long enough now that you wouldn't think that it would be that much of a overcorrection in that sense. They really need him to get going because he is a big bat. Good news is, you know, they still have Miguel Sano going strong, and Torii Hunter has played really well recently, which has been a big, big boost for them because he really struggled in July and August. So if they can get some of these bats going here, especially in this Cleveland series, it'll be huge because Dozier is a big part of that offense. But right now, yeah, we're kind of seeing it for almost like a third straight year now. We've seen Dozier's production dip a little bit in the second half.
Yeah, you mentioned Hunter, 8 multi-hit games in his last 12 games. He's finishing with a flourish here at the age of 40, and we'll see if the Twins can finish with a flourish as well. I want to thank Rhett Bollinger for joining us. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.